George from Ireland. So I'm commenting on Russia's propaganda war in Ukraine and recent developments. Surprising things, and I'm not quite sure why they're doing this, but Yevgeny Prigozhin, the guy who's known as Putin's chef, today released a public statement saying, "Yes, I have interfered in US elections. I'm interfering right now, and I shall continue to interfere." So Prigozhin is from St. Petersburg, like Vladimir Putin. He's roughly the same age as Putin, known as Putin's chef. He's got a huge catering company, has the contract to supply food to schools in St. Petersburg, and is also the head of the Wagner private military company. The Wagner mercenaries who've been fighting in Syria, Mali, the Central African Republic, Libya, Mozambique, and so on, from fighting illegally, fighting against lawful governments, in some cases fighting for lawful governments, such as in Syria, and committed numerous war crimes, and indeed fighting in Ukraine. And partly because the Russian conventional army has so underperformed, Wagner's become even more important. Prigozhin, who was recruiting people out of prison, Prigozhin spent several years in prison for the in the Soviet era for theft, the kind of person whom Putin selects as a friend. Now, okay, obviously people should be forgiven decades later. But Prigozhin has never denied that he was in prison for a serious amount of theft. So much for Putin that is bringing in the dictatorship of the laws he promised to when he became president. So Prigozhin was thought to be behind the Troll Factory in 2016, which did so much to aid Donald Trump to victory. And he lied and lied and lied about it. He's behind the Internet Research Association in St. Petersburg, and the Russian government disclaimed any responsibility. Prigozhin for years said he had no connection with Wagner whatsoever, and now he's confirmed that he has. So it just proves that, you know, they will lie no matter how irrefragable the evidence. Lie and lie and lie. And many people say that Wagner is really an unofficial extension of the Russian military. Until recently, they had, well, implausible deniability. Now they don't even have that. So he said that they will carefully, precisely, and surgically interfere in the US elections. Obviously, the midterm elections are tomorrow. The Republicans are widely tipped to win, and I think they will, but not by very much. There's Mike Moore saying that they're not going to, which I think is daft. Just wishful thinking from him, really. But you know, the obviously Democrats are in power at the moment, but the Russians think that if they can get the Republicans in office, maybe they won't give so much to the Ukrainians. At least it set the Americans at each other's throats. If Trump comes in back in next time, give him about a 30% chance of him coming back as president, he might cut a deal because Putin could caress his ego, cut off aid to the Ukrainians, something like that. Even if that fails, it could at least cause chaos in America, set Americans in deadly hate, one against the other. But it was perhaps unwise of him to disclose that he is actually doing this. And when I say they helped Trump to victory, obviously it was very close, and this doesn't take away from Hillary Clinton's debilities as a candidate from extraneous factors such as, you know, her using the private server for, you know, official emails, and reopening that investigation to into her email usage at exactly the worst possible time of the campaign. There are various other factors behind Trump's victory, but in a very closely fought campaign, this tipped it over the edge. Anyway, other constants in the Russian propaganda war, framing this as a counter-terrorist operation when it's most certainly not. They're fighting a sovereign state. Any Ukrainian attack, calling it terrorist when they attack military bases, despite Russia breaching the Geneva Convention when they are purposefully targeting civilian infrastructure on a huge scale, which is explicitly prohibited under the Geneva Convention, to try and deny heating, electricity, water, and so on to the civilian population, to kill them that way. Large-scale massacres of civilians taken out and killed, knowing them to be civilians. The willful murder of prisoners of war, torture on a large scale, rape on a very, very large scale. So far as I know, not a single Russian soldier has been punished for this by his own side, and so on, by claiming that Ukrainians who want freedom are Nazis, when this is the very reverse is the case, when it's really the Putin regime that behaves more like a Nazi regime, saying that it's all the West, particularly focusing on the United Kingdom. The United States is a bit too big to take on, but the UK is not. The United Kingdom's got a tiny army of about 70,000 soldiers, so trying to maybe scare them away, heightening the fear of nuclear war, because they think this is what Westerners fear the most. They think the Westerners are invertebrate, are caitiffs, and can easily be intimidated. There's even a 1% chance of nuclear war where say, okay, fine, you can have Ukraine. We're going to dump Ukraine like a hot potato. No more arms shipments to the Ukrainians, something like that. The whole of Ukraine being subjugated is far better than the human race being annihilated by a thermonuclear war. So that's it. It's psychological warfare. It's trying to terrify us by raising the specter of nuclear war. But partly, the nuclear weapons have become even more conventional, even more important, because the conventional weapons are not very good, because their battlefield losses are quite high. They're being driven back. They're on the brink in Kherson. I mean, I don't think they'll lose Kherson. Even if they lose it, it won't be that soon. It'll be at least a month. The Ukrainians are probably not going to make much progress over the winter. Probably by the end of this month, there'll be almost no movement through December, through January, into the middle of February. The thaw will start. There will start to be a bit of movement. Remember, the war's only started on the 24th of February this year. It was meant to start about 8 days early, about 16th of February, which is about as early as they could start significant movement. So anything else about this campaign saying that it's a threat to Russia, an existential threat to Russia, when it's not, it's Russia's a threat to Ukraine. So the very inverse of the truth. This is the topsy-turvy of Putinism. So Ukraine defending itself is somehow a threat to Russia, which couldn't be a bigger lie. Who is invading whom? That this is Russian soil, which Russia didn't claim until it illegally occupied these areas and staged these completely rigged and farcical referendums, trying to say, oh, well, this is colonialism, which it certainly isn't, Ukraine being independent, or trying to dig up accusations, some of them true, about Western countries in the past to fuel anti-Western bigotry in African countries, in Latin American countries, in Asian countries, over grievances real and imagined, as though this is somehow Ukraine's fault, that Ukraine should be penalised, that if the United Kingdom itself was wrong in the past, wronged other countries, therefore it's always wrong. Remembering the Soviet Union was a Cold War ally, but I note the heterogeneity of the anti-Western coalition that Russia is trying to create. So it could be Islamo-fascist regimes. It could be China's, I suppose, hyper-capitalist oppressive regime. It's not communist in the economic sense. It could be this demented cult of the personality in North Korea. It could be the Taliban. It could be a secular tyranny in Turkmenistan, where the Turkmens are trying to be neutral. It could be Lukashenko's Soviet nostalgic regime, really anything. To some extent, they're making an attempt on the virtue of Erdogan, an authoritarian pretended democracy in Turkey, which is secular, but less secular. So anything, so long as they're anti-Western, so long as they're against open societies, free speech, fair trials, the marketplace of ideas, free and fair elections. These are the things that are inimical to them. Anyway, so thank you for watching this, trying to persuade the West that this is dangerous for them, that the United Kingdom is in too deep, rather than those Russia's in too deep. The UK wouldn't be shipping all these weapons if Russia hadn't invaded and so on. Trying to use intimidatory tactics, because it's the rule by fear, which Putin does at home. So please subscribe on Patreon and donate to me on PayPal, georgecalahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.